Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says of itself that God has written it. And the miracle is he's inspired it through the hand of men. The human hand wrote it under divine inspiration, and there's no mistakes. We can't do anything without a mistake unless it's inspired by God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. About the last two-thirds of chapter 2 features the first large-scale evangelistic event of the church age. Peter preaches and presents his arguments on why the house of Israel should repent, receive the Messiah, and be baptized. Well, this Holy Spirit-led event resulted in some 3,000 converted hearts. Our teacher has entitled this study, The Presence of the Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And of course, the theme, you're going to get tired of hearing about it, is found in verse 8 of chapter 1. Jesus said there, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know, not too long ago, I broke out a slot car set. Remember, guys, slot cars? Remember? Taking you way back. Well, now they have these little imitation slot cars now. We used to spend mega bucks with our slot cars. And remember, we used to oil the wheels up and go to these all-night 24-hour Le Mans endurance races back at these hobby clubs. And it was a big deal. Well, now they make these little, you know, tinker toy kind of slot car sets, but my girls don't know the difference. So I set this thing up and we're all ready to go. And they're a lot of fun. They got their controllers in their hand and they're holding those things. And we got the white car and we got the red car put in the slot and we're going to really have a good time. Get them all set up. And then I lay down just for ground effect, you know, or visual effects. You know, you lay down, you see the car come by and I'm going to be making sound effects as they're racing around the track. And we're all ready. They're pumped. So they get there and they got the little controller in their hand ready to push down. And I go, "All right, 3, 2, 1, hit it." And they're going, pushing on that little plunger to get the power to go. And they go, "Daddy, nothing's happening." And I said, "Hit it harder." So they're hitting this thing. And I said, "Let me have it." So I grab it and I'm squeezing that thing and nothing's happening. Oh, cheap thing. This, you know, where's it made? I look at everything, check the connections, puzzled, don't know what's going on, take the track apart and put it back together. But I look over to the wall socket and it's hanging out. The adapter's hanging out, you know, about a half inch. And all I had to do was just push it in maybe a millimeter and it connected. Off they went. In fact, they went shooting off the track right onto the carpet. Why? Power had connected. But they sat there and they pushed that button. They were pushing that thing. And I was just wondering, what's wrong? There's no power here. We weren't plugged in. We had missed just a little step further. Maybe in our haste, my haste, putting it together, I'd missed a very, very important part. I missed the power, 115 volts flowing through the wall. And I had missed it by a millimeter. All that power was there waiting to operate our fun, to operate our day, and I missed. Once I inserted it, away we went. And the Holy Spirit in our life is just like that. You can be a Christian. You can be going to heaven. You can be in love with Jesus Christ. But Jesus spoke to his believers, and he said, how much more shall the Father give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask? The moment we come to faith in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us so. But there is this thing that people have talked about, this second blessing, or whatever you want to put upon it, but Jesus called it the Holy Spirit coming upon you. The Holy Spirit's been alongside you. The Holy Spirit comes in you at the moment of conversion. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon you for service and for empowering. And we've been looking at the power of Pentecost in our study. As we see the book of Acts, really the acts of the Holy Spirit. But we saw last time in verses 1 to 13, the power of Pentecost. We saw that that power was manifested in sounds like a rushing mighty wind. And then we saw it followed up by an appearance of tongues that looked like fire upon the apostles' heads. And then we saw last time also in verses 12 and 13 of Acts chapter 2 that there were those in the crowd that said concerning them that they were amazed and perplexed, and they said to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Great question to ask. While others stood back with their arms folded and said, "Ah, oh, they've just got a hold of a great bottle of Ripple or wine or something, you know, they're blitz, they're drunk." There's mockers, and then there's receivers. And the Holy Spirit was given at the birthday of the church to give the church power. And so this morning we're going to look at really the second point of the giving of the Holy Spirit, and that is to preach the message of Pentecost, and that is the message of Pentecost in the preaching. So why don't we look at it, and we'll just, I know I said verse 16, but we'll get primed looking at verse 14. It says there that Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words." Powerful Peter, all of a sudden. "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour." It's not even happy hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this," verse 16, "is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit, and in those days they shall prophesy." And there's a period at the end of the word prophesy. And that period is almost 2,000 years old, because verse 19 down to 21 describes the tribulation period that's coming to the nation Israel. But it's interesting, I want you to draw your attention now, and specifically from verses 14 to 21, that Peter gives the scriptural basis for what's happening. We've seen the manifestation of tongues and of this fire dancing upon their heads and them speaking in a known language. They ask the people, "What on earth can this mean?" And then Peter gives in verses 14 to 21 the scriptural response for what's happening. In verse 16, first of all, look, Peter says, "This is what was." This is it. This is it, what was spoken of by Joel. And here Peter pulls this verse out, and you would think, well, Peter, when did he study for this? Did Peter know Pentecost was coming? He knew the celebration was coming. I don't think he fully believed that the Spirit was going to come like it did. But all of a sudden, he's full of the Word of God. And he quotes this obscure passage. And Peter attributes the fulfillment of what's happening to Joel chapter 2. And if you read the book of Joel, it's a book that specifically deals with the nation of Israel during the tribulation period, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the millennial reign of Jesus. It's all Jewish in context. Peter speaking primarily to the Jew. You saw in verse 14 when he says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem." In Acts chapter 2, 16, "But this, what you hear," is what Peter is saying, "and is what you see," is in the context of the prophet Joel. The Holy Spirit gave him that verse. And good old Pastor Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quotes that very verse. We need to take heed to this, and we must be careful that we don't discount this meaning of Joel chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 3:16, you know the verse well, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that applies here, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And all of those things apply to what Peter's preaching to us now. We can trust in the Bible. We can rely on its strength and on its accuracy. We believe that the Bible is without error in the original language. In 2 Peter 1:21, Peter tells us there, "For prophecy or the word of God never came by the will of men." You know, how many people do we meet and they say, "Well, you know, you can't trust the Bible. A bunch of guys wrote it." Don't you hear that all the time? A bunch of guys wrote it. How can we trust it? You know that's absolutely false. A bunch of guys did not write it. You can put linguists together from all centuries. You can even put Kabbalists. Those are Hebrew scholars who have translated all the letters of the Old Testament into their numerical values and come to the conclusion that mathematically, just on the numbers, the Bible is divinely inspired. But how do you explain a book that has no contradictions, none at all? And that when we think we come to one, we find out that it's because we are burdened and that we are shortchanged by the English language, rather than the Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. But Peter tells us, "But holy men of God spoke as they were moved." The word in the Greek means carried along, are maneuvered by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says of itself that God has written it. And the miracle is he's used it, he's inspired it through the hand of men. The human hand wrote it under divine inspiration, and there's no mistakes. We can't do anything without a mistake, unless it's inspired by God. And then, of course, Isaiah 55:11, a great verse, you know it well. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing for which I have sent it." That is a comfort to me. You ever pray for somebody's salvation? Maybe you're praying right now, or maybe you're hoping that somebody you know will come to Christ, and we need to pray Bible. We say that often here, pray Bible. Jesus says, "Man, if you pray with the word of God, I'll answer your prayer." John 15, verse 7. In verse 19, though, he begins to now quote things that will happen during the tribulation period. And so verses 18 to 19, there's almost been a 2,000-year time frame between that little period. Isn't that amazing? We find that often in Scripture. And so Peter tells us, quoting Scripture, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's grace and mercy, isn't it? But in verse 20, down at the bottom, it calls it there the great and notable day of the Lord. That throughout all of Bible study is referenced to the revelation or the day of the Lord that you read in your Bible. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ as redeeming judge who comes to the earth. The day of the Lord. You find that a lot in Matthew 24, in Luke 17, in Mark 13, these great chapters of the end times. The day of the Lord. It's synonymous with the return of Jesus Christ, not in the rapture, but in the second coming. A 2,000-year wait between those verses. Have you ever noticed that God pays no attention to our time? It really upsets me sometimes. Whenever I'm in a hurry, I can never get God in a hurry. "Come on, God, let's go." We got a new word. We got it in Russia. It means hurry. It was our favorite word. Pashli. I like that word. My daughter's name's Ashley. Now I call her Pashli. It means hurry, hurry. Pashli, Pashli. And I look at God. I go, "Come on, let's go. I mean, God, you don't want to miss this deal. They've only got one left, and they close at 5 o'clock. Surely, God, you want me to be a good steward of your resources, and you want me to watch my money or your money, and Pashli, God, let's go." He's never in a hurry. Going out there, car won't start. "Oh, God, this must be an attack from the enemy. No, God's saving me from certain impending debt." No doubt. No doubt about it. But he's never in a hurry. in my house, it's kind of a crack up. You can go into the kitchen, and we've got two clocks. One of them's in the hospital right now. It's a cuckoo clock getting repaired. But at a certain time, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. And then across the room, we have an Austrian lodge clock. It's a little tiny thing, about that big. It's really cute. Well, there's a lady sitting on a swing set, and she goes up and down on the swing set. And it's going tick, 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 and that cluck, 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 of the cuckoo clock. And then you go in the living room, and there's a chime. And it's... And when it hits the quarter hour or hour, bong, bong, and all these things, man, at 6 o'clock, it's bong, bong, cuckoo, you know, all this stuff going on. Time, time. And then I get watches that you could use for self-defense weapons. I mean, you know, I jump into the ocean and I sink because this thing's on my arm. But I get a bigger watch so God can see what time it is. Come on, God, can't you see? It's time to hurry. God's never in a hurry. He quotes this scripture. He puts a period on the end of it there. And he waits 2,000 years. Nah, I don't like that. God brings me into the world and I get born again in 1977. Okay, that's it. Let's get raptured now. Come on, Lord. Yeah, if you would have told me I'd have waited all this time, I don't know if I would have made that commitment. I wanted to get saved now and get to heaven now. God is so funny. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then look with me in verses 22 to 36. We see Peter, he makes the scriptural application toward them. He not only speaks to them concerning the scriptural basis, what you are seeing and what you are hearing is revealed in the book of Joel. And he delivers the message to them. And then look at verse 22. Peter is all of a sudden a great Bible expositor. He says, men of Israel... He didn't say men of Cairo. He didn't say men of somewhere else. He said men of Israel. Those are the guys standing right in front of him. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. You got to circle that. You have taken by your lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should be, or that it should be holden of him. What a powerful message. And you know what? He did what Charles Spurgeon was famous for doing. Charles Spurgeon took his finger out, and people say, well, you know, you should never point. And they have all kinds of classes now. So you don't point, you go like this. You notice? Well, you're still, it looks like you have a gun if you do it that way, but you shouldn't. Charles Spurgeon looked at the people and he pointed and he said, you. And he always included himself into the camp of sinners or into the camp of the righteous or whatever. But he said, you. And Peter says, you, men of Israel. Well, he was a man of Israel. But Peter had made that commitment to Christ. He had made that step. And Peter looks at the people on the other side of his pulpit and he says, you, by your wicked hands, have crucified. And in the Greek, it's you have taken by lawless hands. You have crucified and you have put to death. Isn't that radical? That's scriptural application. When we were running around in the world and being cute and doing our thing, and even now, as Christians, when we sin, that sin of ours put Christ on the cross. I mentioned something like that last week in a service. And I mean to tell you, if this lady would have had guns in her eyes, I would have been a dead man. She was just furious. But it's true, and until we come to that point of realizing my sin alone put Jesus on the cross, we'll never come to salvation. There is no salvation outside of this fantastic thing called repentance that only God can give. But God brings repentance by the hearing of his word. And man, I mean, Peter's out there, and he's not trying to bend their arm into heaven. He's not trying to wrestle with them. He said, listen, the fact of the matter is, you men of Israel, you guys have taken the Lord of glory and you crucified him. Our sins put him on the cross. Jesus, the Bible says, who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become his righteousness. We believe as evangelicals that Jesus was our substitute, that he took our place upon the cross. Listen, I don't want to make any enemies here this morning, and you don't know my heart. God knows my heart. And there is nothing more that I want to invest in than when my job is done and I'm standing in heaven, I see you walk by in heaven because you realized, you know what? That guy stood up there and called me a sinner. And I got all mad. I'm a sinner. I'm sure that I'm a better sinner than you are. I don't mean good. I mean bad. I'm not singling you out. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you now this morning, don't build up your heart and say, who is this nincompoop? What is the name of this church? I and this church have nothing to do with what you're feeling. It's the Holy Spirit of God using the word. And Peter's saying, you men of Israel, and he brings the message to a spiritual and scriptural application. And we need to do that more often. We're all sinners. You know, by heredity or by hand-me-downs is the way I like to put it. Listen, in your home and in my home, on your body and on my body, there are certain characteristics. People tell me that I have the ears and the nose of my dad. And people tell me that my brother has my mother's skin color. My mother was pure Portuguese. Can't tell by looking at me, but my brother's very olive-complected. And my brother has my mother's coloring. And you look at my sister, and she has my dad's beautiful blue eyes. Each of us have our father or our mother's features in some respects. Well, are you aware that we've inherited a nature from our first father, Adam? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. We hold these little babies up here when we're dedicating them, and they're so cute, and they're goo-gooing and gagaing and stuff, and you know, and they're really darling. And then at about 6, 7, 8 months old, you do something to get them upset. Or maybe you do nothing to get them upset. And they're mad at you. And their emotions spike so radically that if they had a gun, they would shoot you. But they're little stinkers. Oh, they're so cute, but they're little sinners.
Yes, that's the truth, and that's the very reason the gospel exists. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The Presence of the Holy Spirit, a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2. You know, that means that we've just gotten underway with this series, so of course we encourage you to continue with Real Radio and follow along with us verse by verse all the way through to the end of this book. But we also remind you that you can hear the first few broadcasts in this series simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org. In fact, you'll find out just about everything you need to know at realradioactive.org, or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, we pray that one reason you'd like to get in touch with us is to become a partner in supporting Real Radio. You may also write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this contact information, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.